Now, I want to say this morning, okay? In the world we live in today, not every father is honorable. And not every mother is honorable. And it may be really, really hard to honor someone that's not been much of a dad, someone that's not been much of a mom. But I will tell you that God always has a replacement. Okay? And I will tell you of a father who has never left you, who has never forsaken you. He's never failed to give you good things. Amen? He's never failed to correct you. And therein lies really our respect for our parents, is that they corrected us when we were out of line. And honor your mother. So who is my, I know God is my father, who is my mother? Heaven. Galatians chapter 4. Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. See, if you find it difficult in this life to honor a man or a woman that hasn't been much of a parent to you, God has a replacement, and you can honor him so that you can keep his commandments. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 20. Do you believe the Bible? By the way, should they hang at least this commandment back in the schools? I mean, if they don't want the Lord thy God thing, they don't want the Sabbath day thing, and they don't want any of that, from commandment number 5 on, they shouldn't have a problem putting these in the hallways of our schools. Because now we're dealing with a transition in the law, in the commandments. The first 4 commandments dealt with our obligation to God, okay, and our respect for God. And commandment number 5 is a transition, because we have 2 fathers. If you're born again, you have 2 fathers and 2 mothers, okay? Now, I got to be careful, because nowadays when you say a kid has 2 fathers, okay, that's the kind of world we live in. It's messed up. Amen? But I have an earthly father, and I have a heavenly father. I have an earthly mother, and Jerusalem is my heavenly mother. And so we have that transitional commandment. Now we're going to deal with both, but then from this point forward, we're going to deal with our respect and our obligation to our neighbor. And our neighbor literally is the person who lives next door to us that in some cases we don't like. Amen? Or it's in some cases it could even be our enemy, somebody we just don't really care much for. But we're going to deal with our obligation to other men. And if our wise school officials in the ACLU don't like the first 4 commandments, they shouldn't have a problem with these. Honor thy father and mother. Let's look at the scriptures. Let's read from verse 12 on, Exodus chapter 20. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. In fact, that is one of the laws of the land. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That ought to be one of them. In fact, there used to be a time in this country when it was against the law. It was actually written in the laws of various townships and principalities that you it was a crime. Thou shalt not steal. That ought to be on every congressional office. Amen. And every corporate office. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. How many of you agree that those should be the foundation for civil society? Any society that will not abide by these commandments, it doesn't last. It doesn't work. Because you have every man stealing from his neighbor, every man killing his neighbor, every man committing adultery, every man coveting. You have every man who is dishonest, and it won't last. And our country is not going to stand very much longer if we keep disregarding the commandments of God. Can I hear you say amen? But it all begins in the home. It all begins in the home. Young people, I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen very carefully to me, okay? Every now and then, I like to preach just to the kids, just to the children, just to the teenagers. Because you're the ones that will be sitting here or not sitting here 20 years from now. You're the ones, okay? This church is either going to have your presence in it 20 years from now or not 20 years from now. And it may very well be decided on how you deal with this commandment right here. Because it does start in the home. That's the church. Before the institution of the church was the institution of the home. The husband and the wife and them producing children. And God was in that. I believe in marriage. Amen? Amen. I believe that God is in marriage. And I believe that whatever we have to do to maintain the sacredness of marriage, that's what we ought to do. Because it means something to the kingdom of God. It means something as a witness to a lost world. And it means something to our children. That is our church right there at our homes. And so listen to this now. Young people, I'm going to be preaching to you this morning. But I'm going to be preaching at moms and dads too. Because moms and dads have an obligation to make sure that children have something worth honoring at home. And that children do keep the commandments. God gave you children to train. But in most cases in this country, children are just nothing but an aggravation to party adults. They're in the way. They'll raise themselves. As long as they don't cut themselves or shoot themselves, then we'll just let them do whatever they want to do. And that's the mindset of most parents today. In fact, I want to deal with some issues today that some people may not like. But I really see it as an issue that deals with mom and dad more so than the children. Can I hear you say amen? So let's not just say, you kids are really going to get it today. Okay? It's going to be for all of us. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, Jimmy Carmichael has told you enough about my mom. He's got these stories that for the most part are true. Okay? And I will tell you that I can remember hearing my mom say that thy days may be long upon the land. I remember something about I'm going to kill you or you'll wish you were dead or something like that by the time I get a hold of you. How many of you had a mom and daddy like that? Say amen. Okay? You were afraid that you were going to die when the beating started and then you were afraid that you weren't going to die quickly after the beating was over. Amen? By the way, I believe in spanking children. Amen. I don't believe in hurting them. But I believe in discipline. I believe in training. And I believe God designed certain parts of our body that was just perfect for applying the rod of correction. Okay? Nerve, fatty tissue and bundles of nerves all in one place. And God designed it that way. And I'll tell you something, the liberals of this world and the psychologists and the parents' magazine writers and this and that, the editorial writers and everybody else says that they have a better way. And I want to tell you something, there is no better way. There is no better way. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. By the way, the Bible does not say, spare the rod and spoil a child. It does not say that. Okay? But the Bible talks about using the rod of correction upon your child. Okay? And you know what the Bible says about that? You're saving their soul from hell. Now, I'm going to show you today how that works. I'm going to show you how that works. Because I will tell you, you young people, listen to me. And I'm going to show you the verses in Scripture. How you deal with your parents today is how you're going to deal with God 10 years from now. These are your earthly parents, and He is your heavenly Father. And if you will not honor your father and your mother here, you will not care about honoring your father when you're standing in front of him. You will care nothing about it 10 years from now. I promise you this Bible is not broken. And I'm going to show you that from the scriptures. I'm going to show you. Listen to me. You have a rebellious attitude, or you're working on a rebellious attitude right now. I'm going to show you from the scriptures exactly where you're going to be 20, 25 years from now if God does not come in and intervene. Okay? And by the way, I'll tell you this. A loving father and a loving mother, if you've got one of those in your home right now, people that care about you and care about how you turn out, listen, give them honor. There was a man in the Bible that had a son. In fact, he had two sons. And the youngest son was foolish, wanted to go out in the world, didn't want to work for his dad anymore, wanted to do everything in the world. Daddy, give me money. Daddy, give me my inheritance. Daddy, give me what I got coming to me right now. Dad knew what that boy was going to get into. You know what he did? Gave it to him. Because parents, I will tell you that your children will reach a point in their lives where you have to step back and say, God, they're yours. Now, that's not when they're 3 years old. Amen. God, you take him. Can't do nothing. Did you hear that on the news this week that somebody was trying to give away their 13-year-old child on Craigslist this week? Did you hear that? And listen, that wasn't a joke either. They were saying, they put on there on the Craigslist thing, that free to a good home, 13-year-old boy who is real lazy and doesn't want to do anything if it doesn't involve an electronic or a video game. And they were hoping that maybe somebody would take him and put him in boot camp. You know, I'm going to tell you something. You know where boot camp is? Boot camp ought to be your home. That's where you take this old boot right here and camp it. Amen. Listen, that was not that boy's fault that he sat around and played video games and didn't lift a finger in his house. That was mom and daddy's problem. They should have taken him and corrected him when he was 2 years old, when he was 1.5 years old. Now I'm going to tell you something. She's 1 year old right now, and she's being corrected right now. She's learning that some things are not acceptable anymore, and that this is how it's going to be. And you train them from an early age, and you take them and you show them that this is wrong and this is right. And because they want to go out here in this world. Now, I will tell you, there's some parents who try to keep their children from every little thing that's going on in the world. I don't necessarily agree with that. I'm not judging them. Maybe their way is right. But I'm one of these that thinks that maybe you ought to inoculate them against it before you send them out there. That means train them. That means when there's some evil that presents itself, you train them not to go after that thing. You teach them that that's going to harm them. That's going to kill them. That's going to destroy them. But this parent's problem was she wanted what somebody else to do, what she was unwilling to do herself for her 13-year-old boy. And I will tell you, by the time they're 13 years old, you're running out of time. You are running out of time. But anyway, this daddy knew that the boy had to go off, and he did. This son did exactly what his father knew that he was going to do. So he gave him all the money. The boy went out and squandered it. Spent it on parties and drink and the wildlife times and the women and everything else. Spent it all. And when it was all gone, all of a sudden there was a famine in the land. Who do you think brought that famine in the land? God's in charge of that. Amen. And all of a sudden this boy ends up, at one time when he was living in daddy's home, he had it high on the hog, and now he is with the hogs. The Bible says he got so hungry, he wanted to eat the slop that they were feeding those hogs. Have you ever seen hog slop? Funniest cartoon I ever saw in my life was that there was these pigs at a trough, and one of them looked up at the farmer and said, "You call this slop?" I thought that was hilarious. They showed on TV one time, you know what they do at Las Vegas? They take all the food from all this buffet, they take it and they'll slop it together and slosh it down in this thing, mix it all together real good, and cook it up and take it out. And these farmers feed these hogs our scraps and leftovers. And that man was sitting down there looking at what the hogs were eating, and he was so hungry he almost got down there and ate it himself. Now let me tell you something, young person. This is where you're headed in life. And if you don't believe me, there's enough of us adults who will tell you that we've been to the hog trough before. Let me tell you the deal that you've got at home. The deal that you've got at home is that even though you've done wrong, even though you've disrespected your mom and dad, even though you cursed them, even though you rolled your eyes at them, even though you complained every time they said, now get up and go make your, please go make your bed. And they were nice about it. And you threw a fit and a spell. I don't have to do that. I don't want to do that. You should have lived in the days when your grandma and grandpa grew up and they had to walk about 3 miles to get a bucket of water to have something to drink. Yeah. Well, I don't like stories like that. I don't care if you don't like stories like that. Get yourself up, you lazy bum, and do something around the house. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let me tell you about the deal you've got at home. Because when that prodigal son was at the end of his rope, and he woke up, I love how the Bible says, just woke up one day, and he realized that even his daddy's servants had it better than he had it right then and there. And he said, I'll at least go back and be one of my dad's servants. If I cannot have the inheritance and I cannot have his name anymore, I'll at least go back and be one of his servants and I'll have it better than what I have here. And he swallowed his pride because he had nothing left. And he went back home. And there was his daddy who saw him afar off. See, I like that. Because I had it in my mind, I thought about this one day. Here's daddy out going out every day, out on the porch. Waiting for him. Looking for him. And when the prodigal son came back home, his daddy ran to him. He didn't take a rod after him. He didn't take his belt off. He went over there and he ran and he held him and he kissed him. He cried on him. My son. And he said, bring me a ring. Put his ring on his finger. Give him a new robe. Go get some shoes for my boy's back. Go kill the fatted calf and let's have a dinner for my son. My son was dead, now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. My son's back. That's who your mom and daddy really are. Can I hear you say amen? That's who your mom and daddy really are. They are not the brainless Adolf Hitlers that you make them out to be in your home. That is not who they are. Your mom and daddy has one of the hardest jobs in the world, and that is trying to raise you and trying to make something out of you to have a future in this country. They have a very difficult job on their hands. That word honor, you know, I thought about this. The definition means glory, renown, fame, or honor. And then, let me ask you this. Who's ever been in a courtroom? Raise your hand. Okay. You don't have to tell me what for. Let me show you how this works. That man that sits on that bench with that black robe, you do not, and I don't care how worthless a thug you are, when you walk into that courtroom and you address that man who sits in that chair with that gavel in his hand, you don't say, hey, Chuck, won't you give me a deal here? Let me go. That is not how you talk to a judge in an earthly courtroom, is it? And that may be the only time you've ever had an interaction with that man, but you know that by tradition and by commandment, by law, that the man who sits on that chair with that gavel in his hand is deserving of a title that nobody gets away with not calling him that. What do you call a judge who sits there in that chair? Your Honor. You don't call him by his first name. You don't call him by his last name. You don't call him a slang word. You don't call him a cuss word. You don't do anything like that. You know why? Because he has the power over you. And so does your mom and your daddy as long as you're living in their home. Now, I don't know of anybody, any parent, who insisted upon their children calling them, good morning, Your Honor. I don't have that relationship with my children. They don't have that relationship with me. They don't call me Mike either. Hey, Mike! They call me Daddy. Now that is a name of affection, but it's a name of honor. And Mama. And they don't call Mama. (Clears throat) You don't call your mom and dad. Oh, no, you don't face them and do it. You go, stupid, 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 stupid. Slam! That's when I get up. That's when I get up. I don't care what show's on. I don't care what I'm reading or what I'm eating. When I hear slam, I'm up. The judge will not put up with you calling him anything less than your honor. And he only has a limited authority over you. Your mom and dad have a greater responsibility over you, and they never ask you to call them master, sir, or dad, or anything other than dad or mom. They're being pretty good about it. Okay? Let's get into it. Let me show you how it works. Okay? Watch this thing not work now. More technical difficulties. Lord, please let this work. There we go. Come here, Antonio. Let me see if this will work. No? Come here, Antonio. Come here, buddy. Antonio is my clicker. You can sit right here. Can you sit here? You mind? Okay. Just sit right here and get comfortable. And when I go click, you hit that button right there. Okay? Not yet, but when I say click, Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. How many agree with that? Say amen. Amen. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Let me ask the adults here. Who in here has regrets, I mean deep regrets, about a time when you mistreated your mom and dad? Raise your hand. Deep regrets. See, you've got to live with that the rest of your life. Amen. You have to live with that the rest of your life. The mistakes that you make when you're 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, you have to deal with that the rest of your life. And I'll tell you something, this Bible's right. You honor your parents when you're young, and it will go well with thee. You won't have all those stupid regrets. Can I hear you say amen? That it may be well with thee, thou mayest live as long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Daddies, if you want your kids to honor you, be honorable. Be honorable. Be something worth honoring. Click. Good job. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in how many things? All things. Now, I know there's some parents in Jefferson County and St. Louis County and everywhere else that are raising their children to be hoodlums, drug heads, dope fiends, thieves, murderers, and everything else. It does not mean that. It does not mean that. But nine times, that is the exception, not the rule. 9 times out of 10, parents are going to tell their children to do things that are right, things that are honorable, things that are legal, things that they know are preparing them for the days that lie ahead. Teaching you a work ethic. A work ethic. Yeah. Don't you know that when you get to a certain age, you have to go out and work so you can put food in your mouth? Don't you know that? Your parents are trying to tell you there is no money tree out in the backyard, and you don't believe it. Amen. 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 Obey your parents. And all, you know what they're trying to do? Your parents do not live in your room, so what do they care if your room's messy? They're trying to train you that life is about cleaning stuff up and making things right and putting things in order. That's what they're trying to tell you. Besides that, it stinks in there. No wonder the dog wants to live in your room. Amen. It's in there. Click. The brother shall deliver up. Matthew chapter 10, verse 21. Look at what Jesus said is a sign of what's coming. Brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children. Look at this. The children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Here we go. Jesus said it was going to happen. There was a group, who was this? Pink Floyd, who wrote a song back in the 80s called The Wall. We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. Hey, teachers, leave them kids alone. And it was rebellion. It taught rebellion. I could go through the list of rock and roll music songs that have been listened to for the last 40 years since the Beatles came on the scene and all the way through up into the time we have now. And rock and roll does nothing but promote rebellion in the home. Yes. Yeah. Amen. I mean, I want to hear it loud. Yeah. Amen. It promotes rebellion in the home. Yeah. Okay? Even Elton John, what was that song? Benny and the Jets. I'm trying to remember the lyrics. We shall survive. Let us take ourselves along out into the streets to fight our parents to find out who's right and who's wrong. That's the lyrics of Benny and the Jets. To fight our parents out in the streets to find out who's right and who's wrong. We now, I'm going to tell you, your rebellion at home is more spiritual than you think it is. Because it's a direct violation of the commandment of God. And Jesus prophesied of a time when children would rise up against their own parents and seek to have them killed. We're living in those days right now. And so listen, teenager. You get mad at your mom and dad. You get mad at your mom or your dad or your stepmom or your stepdad or your adopted parents or whoever. You get mad at any of them. And you walk off in your mind, you say, I hate them. Right. Right. There's a spirit there that says, boy, wouldn't it be good if they were dead? And your flesh says, yeah. That's wicked. If I were you, I'd fight that spirit. I would say, God, please help me with this. I don't want my mom and daddy dead, but I'm so angry. And listen, your mom and daddy actually sympathize with you more than you realize. They've been there. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Wanted your mom and dad dead. Hated them. I hate my mom and dad. Click. Romans chapter 1 verse 30. This is the list of 23 things. Listen to this now. I want to tell you how serious God is about the law. God says, keep the law and you'll live. Break the law and you'll die. And in Romans chapter 1, there's a list of 23 things that at the end of that list, and by the way, the number 23 is the number for death. It says, and he who commits such things is worthy of death. Look what it says. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents. God said that being disobedient to your parents makes you worthy of death. Can I tell you what the law, you're going to really like this one. You know what the law said? God's holy law said that if any man or girl cursed his mama or his dad, they would be taken out by the elders and stoned that day. And let's just, all of us in this room, let's get real honest for a minute. You may not have cursed them to their face, but you cursed them. And if it was up to the Old Testament God, you'd have been dead that afternoon. And you did it. Ask me how I know. How do I know, Jared? I did not. Not out loud. Now, you say, well, my mom don't live right. My dad don't live right. Let me tell you a story about what happened to me. When I was growing up in this church, Sister June, I was Mr. Holier Than Now. I had good teaching in this church. I had good men to follow in this church. But I was Mr. Holier Than Now. And I had a religious attitude a mile long. And the day before I left for Bible college, let me tell you how good my mom and dad was to me. Number one, they were going to send me to college and help me. They got all the grants that they could get together. And then they helped me with some loans. And then my mama gave me a bunch of cash the day before I left. And it was going to be on a Saturday. We had a big fish fry at our house to have me a little sending off party. And then Sunday after church, I was going to leave here and drive down to camp with Dale and Marge McCurry, spend the night with them, and then drive the rest of the way to Oklahoma. My dad had given me his 1979 Plymouth Valari. Okay, this was only 84. That was a five-year-old car, and it was a nice car. Didn't make me pay for it. Gave me the keys and said, "You're going to need this out there. Be careful." And the night before I left, I went out to the driveway to back the car out, so I don't know for what reason, and I wasn't paying attention, and I hit a post that was holding up a porch, and I damaged the front fender of that thing. I mean, just ground it in there. Ruined that car. I mean, ruined the looks of it. And buddy, I'll tell you, started coming out of my parents, and my dad was angry. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what this lost man told me out of the blue in the midst of all this. He said, "You despise me because I drank beer." And God told him to say that to me. And he was right. I was trying to live like I was perfect. And like I'm going to Bible college. I'm going to be the preacher. And I was despising my own father because he wasn't in church. And that came out that night. And when he said that, it cut me like a knife, like a two-edged sword. And I didn't argue with him. I couldn't, because he was right. And I repented of that for years. And I want to tell you something. Even if your mom and daddy's wrong, that does not give you a license to rebel against them. If you do, you're worthy of death. Click. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Look how Paul said it's going to be in the last days. Are there lovers of their own selves today? Amen. "Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful." See, I like how they go together. Disobedient to parents and unthankful. You see, your mom and dad would try to teach you when you're 2-3 years old, when somebody gives you something, what do you say? "Thank you." And that's all cute. You see, it's just like in American society today. The government about 40, 50 years ago decided to be benevolent and start doling out large sums of money to people that were poor. It started out as just being a benefit. Now it's turned into a right. And see, what happens is you grow up in a house where you've been given things. You didn't listen, when supper was on the table, you didn't have to do anything for that. They put macaroni and cheese and your hot dogs and your favorite food down on the table. They didn't ask you to do nothing. Because parents love their children and you gotta feed them. Amen. It's against the law not to. And they didn't ask you to do nothing except help clean the dishes up after supper. And you threw a fit, and didn't have to do half the job that you were told to do. You know what you are? You're unthankful. And your grandma and grandpa and their mom and dad didn't throw food away. They didn't have any to throw away. And I'm telling you, say, "Well, that was back in the old days." Listen, what goes around, I'm going to tell you how shaky this country is right now. We're not too far from another depression. You know, the times that the old fellers lived in didn't have anything, we're not too far from that, are we? Listen, our kids don't have much of a prosperous future. And so, you know what, if I were you, you know what I'd start doing? I'd start being thankful. And by the way, that applies to God too. Don't you dare sit down and stuff your face with food until you bow your head and say, God, thank you for what I have. God, I'm thankful for what I have. Because we've been places where they didn't have it. Disobedient to parents and unthankful go hand in hand. If you appreciate your parents, some reason, for somehow it just works. If you have an attitude where you appreciate what your parents do, you pretty much do what they tell you to do. But you show me any child who will not appreciate what mom and dad is doing for them, and I'll show you a child that's disobedient and will not honor their father and mother. They think that everything they've gotten, they have a right to have. It's tough preaching, isn't it? Listen, just all you got to do is look around you. Look at the world we live in right now. It's sick. It's sickening to see the young people, the young generation. And I would to God that we would have a generation in this church that wasn't going to act that way. Amen. That was not going to act that way. Disobedience to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers. See how they all go hand in hand? Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. You know what incontinent means in the medical terminology? That means you have no control over your functions. In life, it means that you're out of control. You see, it all works together. When you're disobedient to parents and unthankful, that means you once you are outside of the domain of your mom and daddy, you have no ability to control your actions. And you just go and you just do whatever you feel like doing. See, am I telling the truth? False accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. By the way, as soon as you're out of mom and daddy's domain, normally that's when you quit going to church.
Yeah.
Normally that's when it happens. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And I am, verse 5, when I was a teenager here, I had a form of godliness, but because of my disrespect for my own father, it was only a form of godliness. That's all it was. It was. Click. Now on down in the same chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, after he mentions how all these people are, that they're disobedient to parents, take those who are disobedient and rebellious to their parents. And it says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Watch that. See, Moses was in authority. And Jannes and Jambres were the two that led the rebellion. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up. Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. That means they despised biblical authority. And I'm going to tell you how this works. You despise your parents now, you'll despise God's commandments later. They all work hand in hand. Can I hear an amen out of somebody? They all work hand in hand. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. When you despise your mom and dad, and you will not come under the rule of their authority and rebel against them, you're a reprobate as far as God is concerned. And this is why, as soon as you leave the house, you're never in church ever again, because you despise authority in your home, and now you will not have biblical authority in your life. How many of you believe that that's how it works? Say amen. That is exactly the kind of world we're living in right now. Okay? And the devil, as soon as they walk out, the devil's waiting for them, because when they get out of high school, 9 times out of 10, they're going to go into the colleges. And the college campuses, the worldly ones especially, are just a sewer trap of iniquity, ungodliness, philosophies of men to turn church children's minds around so they have no respect for God and this Bible ever again. It happens, doesn't it? And sad to say, it's even happening in the Bible colleges, Gary. Get them outside of the home, get them outside of the local church, and these Bible colleges are taking these kids and turning their minds around to against the Bible. And then all the other stuff that goes on in college. So you say, well, and by the way, mom and daddy, don't just say, well, Junior's sowing his little wild oats right now. He'll be over it. Junior's going to reap the whirlwind one of these days.
Yeah. Amen.
So it just happens that when you despise mom and dad, you despise the Bible. Let me show you proof of this. Click. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." Amen? See, moms and dads, isn't it better to just do what you're told rather than to have to go back and say, "Mama, I'm sorry"? Isn't it better?
Yeah.
Should have just done it to begin with. "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Now, I'm going to show you something. God put me onto this weekend. I'm going to show you something. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. If I were to ask you a question, what do you think is the number one predominant religion of America right now? It's not Christianity anymore. And it's not Islam. It is Wicca, wizardry, and witchcraft. And I'm going to show you how this works. I went to Barnes & Noble's website last night, and I looked at the top 20 books being sold to kids ages 6 to 12. 6 to 12. The top 20 books. Go to the next slide. The top 20 books. Go past that one. The top 20 books on Barnes & Noble's list, books being sold to kids 6 to 12 years old, out of 20 of them, only 2 of them had nothing to do with witchcraft or the occult. Only 2. So Harry Potter series, The Hobbit, all of these books here, Hogwarts, all of these books up here, that's just a sampling of the 20. And out of 6 to 12 year old, little kids, the top 20, only 2 of them had nothing to do with witchcraft. The other 18 were constantly putting in these kids' minds things of the occult, witchcraft, sorcery, which your children ought not be reading. They burnt books like that in the book of Acts. They burnt them because they were teaching occult practices. Well, that's just fantasy. Yeah, and your kids' mind's in a little fantasy world. I know about fantasies. I know about the fantasies of witchcraft and the fantasies of The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. I know about that stuff. I got into that stuff, and I know the effect that it has. Don't let your kids read that stuff. 6 to 12 years old, the new religion is not the religion of the Bible. It's the religion of Satan himself, who is the master rebel. Then I got to the teens. Go ahead, next slide. The teen books. See, they get darker. 13, 18 years old, they start dealing with themes of sex and eroticism and mingling sex and magic and witchcraft together and drinking of. And you say, that's just little fairy tales. They arrested a guy in Texas this week. What was he doing, Kay? He broke into some lady's house and was trying to suck blood out of her neck like a vampire. Where did he get that idea? Where did that come from? What did he read? You tell me what books he read. You tell me. What books did he read? Come on, out with it. Twilight. Listen, the adults, you kids were too chicken to say it because you know what's in those books. Don't you? Man, I don't want him preaching against that because I like that stuff. I did too. And I'm going to preach against it.
Amen.
And I like rock and roll, and I'm going to preach against it. And I like country music, and I'm going to preach against it. And I like monster movies, and I'm going to preach against them. And I like slasher films, and I'm going to preach against it. And I like all kinds of things that I'm going to preach against. What have we turned into as a country? You know what they used to read in schools? You know what they used to read in schools, Courtney? They had a thing called a blueback speller. Okay? A blueback speller was filled with scripture verses. They were teaching kids to read by reading the Bible. King James Bible, by the way. McGuffey's primer, McGuffey's reader, had themes that were related to biblical things and following the commandments and honoring your parents. That's what our kids used to read in this country. Now they're reading about witches and vampires and turning into werewolves and mixing fornication with magic so you can have powers. That's what your kids are reading. In the teenage section, the top 20 books, three of the 20 did not have anything that I could see had to do with the occult or anything like that. So 17 out of the top 20 books for teens at barnesandnobles.com as of last night was full of witchcraft and magical eroticism. You see, it works together. When you will not obey your parents, you will not obey God. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
Next one. Hear, O Israel. This is the last verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. By the way, if you love your parents, let me apply it this way. Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Keep my... Isn't that neat? If you love me, keep my commandments. Young people, children, you love your mom and dad, do what they say. And now, I'm going to say this out of fairness to all the kids in this room. Maybe all the kids watching. Okay? Out of fairness. Your parents are not perfect.
Amen.
Amen? Taylor, your mom and dad, they're not perfect. Okay? Don't you dare cop the attitude that I copped by saying, I don't have to listen to them. I know what they're guilty of. See, the kids will know about our life, the little sneaky lifestyles before anybody else will. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen?
Your kids probably know things on you you don't want them to know. Okay? They probably know things on you that you don't want them to know. But that does not give you a license to rebel. That does not give you a license to not love them. I found that out. And if you love your parents, you'll at least do 80% of what they tell you. And if you really love your parents, you would not stand there, look them in the eye, and tell a bold-faced lie. Looking them right in the eye. You would never do that if you really loved them. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee, this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Parents, you don't want rebellious children? Quit feeding them the junk food media of this world. Don't feed them the ideas, and don't let them be fed on the ideas that will bring about rebellion. Now, it's going to be naturally in them already, because at some point, the little boys and the little girls are not cute anymore. They're wanting to stand on their own two feet. They're wanting to bust out into the world, and we see that in their lives, and we know that they have to have some restraint, but we got to let them go just a little bit. Let them take little baby steps. And we know that it's kind of a hard time dealing with that age. But teach these words to your children. These words. Teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now this is mom and dad's turn. Mom and dad, if you don't want your kids to cuss, don't cuss. Mom and dad, if I ever catch you smoking, I'm going to whoop the fire out of you. And they'll do it with a cigarette hanging out of their mouth and smoke going up in their eyes. You ever seen them do that? Put a cigarette in there and got their hands busy and smoke's going up in their eyes. Put it out. Come on. Send it over there. You don't want your kids smoking? Don't smoke. You don't want your kids drinking beer at the neighbor's house? They better not find it in your house. There should not be a key to the liquor cabinet in your house. Because there should not be a liquor cabinet in your house. You don't want your sons looking at dirty magazines? Don't let him find them in your house. See how it works? You want your children to learn the ways of the Lord? Then let your children hear the ways of the Lord. Let them hear them while you talk about them when you sit in your house. And when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, give your children something to honor. That's good preaching, isn't it? Okay? You just kind of think about all this stuff. Now, young people, I'm going to tell you something. You need help. Okay? And what you need is a psychiatrist and a therapist to sit down and hear all your problems and this and that. No, that's not what you need. You know who your counselor is? You know who your counselor is, Taylor? Look at her. She knows. You know what I think about you? I think there's been times when you went to bed at night saying, God, I need help. Have you ever done that? That's good advice. Lay your head down at night, young people, and say, I don't want to be fighting with my mom and dad. I don't want my mom and dad to be mad at me. And they've been good to me. And I have a rebellious attitude, and I hate them, and I need help. And God will help you.
Amen.
God will help you. So just in the moment, would you bow your head and close your eyes? Just very quickly. I'm going to ask, number one, and anybody that wants to come to one of these altars, please feel free, okay? But I want to ask mom and dad, number one, the kids always remind us of how rotten we really are. And I hate that. Man, I hate that. That bugs me to no end. And you say, God, I need help being a good parent. I do not want my children picking up on my bad stuff. And God, I need help. And number two, every child, every young person in this building, every one of you, bow your head and say, God, I don't want to be disobedient to my mom and dad. And I need help. God, will you help me? Will you help me? The proof might just be a clean room this week. But God, will you help me? Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God. Lord, you have convicted me about a dozen times, Lord, during this message of my responsibility as a dad. Be honorable in the sight of my own children. And God, the older I get, I'm getting less patient, and I don't like that. And Lord, the older I get, I look back on the mistakes that I made in front of my girls, the mistakes I made in front of my boys, and I don't like that. And Lord, I'm the preacher. If anybody, and Lord, in this church has a right to despise me as a preacher, it'd probably be my own kids. Because they see and hear Daddy preach one thing, and then every now and then they see something different. And I don't like that, God. Lord, I want to be honorable in front of my own children. And I need help doing that. And Lord, I know my children. And I love them, Lord. I love them to death. I'd give my life for any of them. But I know they struggle in various ways, dear God. Even the grown-up ones. And Lord, I'm just praying, dear God, Lord, that you'd help them as they call unto you, God, that you would help them. Help them to honor mom and daddy. And Lord, while we're all at it, dear God, Lord, would you please help us honor you? You're a real father. You've never left us. You've been so good to us, God. And every time we needed it, Lord, we got it. Every time we needed food, we had food. Every time we needed warmth, we had warmth. And every time we needed a whooping, God, you gave us a whooping. And that shows, Lord, that we're your sons. And God, Lord, we have dishonored you. We have cursed, God. We have dishonored you. We have rebelled. And Father, Lord, you've just long-suffered with us, God, and we're sorry for that. And we're asking, God, Lord, that you would help us to honor you and honor your kingdom. So, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us all. And help us, dear God. Give us revival, Lord, so that we honor our father and our mother. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and blessed be his word today. We pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation, and some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word, God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.